Churches come in all kind of shapes and sizes, from home meetings to wide open gatherings, from dark, packed in, movie theater looking type churches to meeting outside in parking lots. The church of Jesus is people. It's always been about people. It's always been for people. People from every race, people from every nation, starting young and old. And Paul writes a letter to the Ephesians. And he starts out writing a letter to just affirm the purpose of the church. Why are you gathering? You have been chosen and you have been marked. He gets to this passage, which we've numbered chapter 4, and he draws out the implications of being within the body of Christ. That we would stay united and that we would utilize our giftedness to advance the gospel. So the church, while a gathering, has have some coffee. It's not just a social club so that we can gather together and have some coffee and fellowship and have some pizza. There's a purpose behind why we're here. And the passage that we read is really, it's part of the letter, but it's really an anthem. It's really kind of a cry of the heart. It's about God's call to each and every one of us for unity, for grace, and for purpose. See, and Paul doesn't sugarcoat life. The scriptures acknowledge the battles that we will face, both in ourselves and collectively as a body. He also reassures us, you are not alone, that we are equipped, that we are called, that we are chosen. We've been filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and the light should be ready to shine from within us to bring out, if you would, the glory of God. Ephesians is an appeal to see ourselves as God sees us, to walk with confidence as He has placed within us the Holy Spirit, or He has placed within us Himself. See, I couldn't even get past verse 1. The Lord was working on my soul and even challenging my commitment. As a prisoner of the Lord, see, Paul's already a prisoner of the Lord. As a prisoner, he's trying to encourage you. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Now, if living a life worthy of the calling you received caused you to be imprisoned, would you fulfill that calling? What if living out the calling worthy that you have received caused you to lose your job, caused you to lose your friends, caused you a little bit of embarrassment? Maybe there's the fear of assassination. Am I living out the life worthy of the calling that I have received? I struggle every week trying to live out this great command that Jesus has placed on my own life. Trying to serve, trying to lead, trying to help others have a deeper walk with Christ, to preach, to navigate the trenches of loving those that seem so unloving at times and so unlovable, to practice forgiveness, to extend grace and mercy, even to those that may want me dead. Living a life worthy of the calling that you have received will cost you something. And Paul's writing to encourage the fellow believers in Ephesus to, while he's in prison, to live out their calling, even though it may lead somewhere like prison. Really, Paul? This is what you're asking? This is what you're writing? You're in prison for your faith? I'm sure we all heard about Charlie Kirk getting assassinated. Was he assassinated, really? That's the cost for being out front and being bold, for speaking the truth, for standing for your faith, for debating with others that would disagree? It may cost you everything. I hope we never have to face a prison sentence because of our faith or an assassination attempt. I pray we never have to make that hard of a stand, because I don't know if many of us would ever even live out that kind of calling upon our lives. But living out the calling, worthy, that you have received. Would we pay the price for our faith? Challenging question. And here's Paul in prison writing. We've been exposed to it all week long, if you've caught any glimpse of TV. And here's your first one. You're invited. You're invited. Imagine that you've been handed an invitation. An invitation to represent the Lord of all creation, the King of kings. Do you reject it out of fear, or do you accept it? Because it isn't a job title. It's a calling. A calling to represent his character, a calling to represent his grace, a calling to represent his glory, to be an ambassador for forgiveness, kindness, humility, to be a spokesperson for the truth. What kind of calling are you willing to live out? And what kind of cost are you willing to pay? And what is God asking of you? And what is God asking of us? The passage asks all Christians to live out their lives with purpose. To live out your lives with purpose. Standing for Christian values often will take an opposing view to what the world would ascribe. And you're invited. Come take an opposing view to the world. You're invited. Come take a godly view of the world. You're invited. Come extend grace and mercy and compassion. You're invited. Lay down hatred and bitterness and racism. You're invited. Come. As a believer, you will be in conflict with the world. And I invite you to come to be in conflict with the world. One thing is for certain. One thing that I know, the Lord asks us to live in unity together. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called into one hope, and you were called with one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is in all and over all. God calls us into unity. There's your next one. It's a God-given unity. Those are very important and selected words. God-given unity. To view the history of the world, it has never been unified. As long as there has been people, there have been wars, there has been strife, there have been divisions and hatred and murder and anger and jealousy and revenge and conflict and discord. And that's all describing people. Always rebelling against each other and against God. As long as there have been people, people have been at odds with each other and, of course, with the Lord. See, and if you're looking to this world to bring you peace, you're looking in the wrong place. And if you're thinking the government is somehow going to bring peace in the absence of conflict, you're looking in the wrong place. There is only one place where you will be able to find unity, and that is in Jesus Christ. Because the unity that you seek within your heart, the peace that wants to fulfill in that void of a hole that you have within your heart, is only filled in Jesus Christ, and it is God-given. You cannot manufacture it. You cannot vote for it. You cannot go to war for it. This is God-given unity. So I want to ask you this question, and it's kind of off the scales a little bit for my sermon, but is God at peace with himself? Is God at peace with himself? Next week we'll talk about the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Is God at peace, the Father, Son, And the Holy Spirit is God at peace with himself. You would think he's at peace with himself. The unity that we seek and the peace that we desire cannot happen outside of God. Can we grasp the understanding that he gives you a peace of himself? He gives you the peace of himself. The unity, the peace, the harmony that we so desperately desire, it only happens in Christ. It only happens in the Spirit. Healing for your troubled souls, only in Christ. Healing for the heartache and the bitterness and the resentment and the troubled problems of the world that just plague you and agonize you is only found in the Holy Spirit of God. The healing for your anger and your bitterness and your rage and your vengeful ways, and only peace can be found in Jesus Christ. It is God-given. If you're looking anywhere else, you're not going to get it. You're missing it. At best, it's temporary. And God's talking about something that is eternal. Give me something like that. Give me something like that. More profound. The world cannot obtain unity outside of Jesus Christ. It cannot obtain racial harmony. It cannot obtain political equality. It cannot obtain financial stability. It cannot obtain world peace. It will not and cannot happen. And the scriptures are pretty clear. Things get worse before they ever get better. And it's all God-given. We can have it all. We can have it, but only in Christ. We can have it because God is at peace with himself, but you need a little piece of God. Am I making sense? Do I land on it? Did I land in that plane right? See, I kind of know what it's supposed to look like, you know, and sometimes we can manufacture these things in our own flesh, but the reality of the situation is the Holy Spirit of God shines brightly through us, and we recognize that it looks like humility. We recognize that it looks like a gentleness. It looks like patience when everybody else is losing their minds. It looks like bearing with one another in love while they're struggling to make ends meet, or they're struggling in their spiritual walk, or they're struggling in their relationships as they try to get their act together. I know what it's supposed to look like. The Holy Spirit manifests itself in forgiveness when the world says, you need vengeance. And God would say, practice forgiveness. You need honesty. You need peace. Unity does not just happen by accident. The unity that Paul is talking about here in these passages, it is God-given, and it requires the movement of the Holy Spirit of God upon our own lives. And in fact, the only way we're ever going to be able to walk at peace in this world is in Christ. But it's important that we remember these things. Here's your next slide. See, that unity does not mean uniformity. And oneness does not mean sameness. Instead of focusing on what divides us, why do we not focus on what unites us? Focusing in on Jesus Christ. He's the bedrock and the foundation of all why you're all here. Though I'm sure everybody's got a different opinion about what football team's the best. We are not the same. And unity does not mean uniformity. Instead of pointing out sins, maybe you point to Jesus. Instead of focusing on sins, maybe you focus on Jesus. We're all called to one body, one hope, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one God who is over all, through all, and in all. There is one church. There's one body of Christ. You heard me say it countless times. How many churches are there in Palm Beach County? And people start going, oh my gosh, there's Baptists and Catholics. There's one. one true church, body of fellowship of believers in Jesus Christ. But we're not all the same. See, unity does not mean uniformity. Some people like the hymns. Some people want to rock out with the drums and the... We don't have to be the same to have the belief in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. As God does the walk, living out the calling, talk the talk, testify about his good deeds. Has God done any good deeds in your life? Tell somebody. Walk the walk, display your gifts. Talk the talk, speak of the peace that you have found in Jesus Christ. Walking the walk means you are going to demonstrate the power of Christ in your life. Everything in this circumstance and situation requires that I should speak out vengeance and spew out curse words, but I'm going to remain calm and silent because the Spirit of God within me is stronger than the flesh that wants retaliation. Are you going to walk in the ways of God, or are you going to walk in the ways of the flesh? Are you going to walk in the ways of Jesus Christ, or are you going to walk in the ways of the world? Talk the talk. Tell what God has done for you. Walk the walk. Approach the altar. Repent. None of us in here are perfect. I can promise you that, and I pretty much know most of you, and you ain't perfect. And you're all looking at me going, and you ain't either. And you'd be exactly right. That's why I like hanging out with all of you. This is why it is said, the scriptures, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. And what does he ascended mean? That he also had descended to the lower regions. He who descended is the very one who ascended to the highest of all the heavens in an order to fulfill or fill the whole universe. It's about Jesus. It's always been about Jesus. Jesus sets the captives free. Jesus gives all of the gifts. You can't do this without Jesus. Walk it, talk it, believe it, sing it, shout it about. But it's all in Jesus. Jesus, Spirit made flesh. It's about our relationship with God. God desires a relationship with you. Our life, listen, our life is not about trying to bring stabilization to the world. It's about something much bigger. It's about something that's much longer lasting than your house and your car and this earth. God himself came to bring reconciliation. You won't have reconciliation without him. God himself came to bring unity. You won't have unity without him. God himself came to bring redemption. You won't have redemption without him. This is all done by God for you. He did this as a demonstration of his love for you. He did this because you can't. He does this for you, but he does all this for you so that he gets glory. That all will know I am the God. There is no other gods above me. Is God at peace with himself? Get a piece of God. Come get a piece of God. I need a piece of that peace of God. You're invited. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of his son Jesus Christ and become mature. This is the whole driving point. What are we trying to do? We're all trying to build each other up so that we can reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And in that, we will become mature. And we'll experience the whole fullness of Christ, of all of who he is. This is the body at work. This is your next one. This is a God-given ability. God-given ability. See, you've heard it countless times that unified we accomplish more than we ever could individually. Right? The sum is much more productive, right, than the total of its individual parts. Together, significance, together purpose, together accomplishing, together unified, together with the purpose of God, accomplishing things that are amazing that only God can do so that he gets glory through us. It's the whole point of the church. He used to look at Israel like that. You're going to be the people that I shine through. Jesus was Jewish. He came through the Jewish people. And he opened it up now for all, that I might work through the fellowship of believers, calling us into unity, so that we might represent who he is, what he does. And listen, God-given ability. You can't do this on your own. You can't do this without him. Try as you might. Vote as you like. He has called each of us to live out a faith. He has called each of us to live out a life worthy of that calling, whatever the cost may be. Think very carefully about whether you want to be a disciple of God, a follower of Christ. He's pretty clear about it. They hated you. Remember, they hated me first. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers. He gave some to be musicians or prayer warriors or cooks or bottle washers or administrators or mathematicians or electricians or politicians. I'm not here because I like the sound of my voice. I'm here to try to live out the calling that God has placed upon my life. Whatever title you want to give it, whatever you want to call it, I'm trying to live out the calling worthy of what I have received in my life. Why are you here? From a pit, crying out in the wilderness, it seems like sometimes, trying to move God's people toward works of service so that they could fulfill their calling. God has placed a calling and a purpose and a significance in your life to encourage others to make an eternal impact. We each have work to accomplish. We each have duties to fulfill. We have responsibilities to conquer, obligations to meet before the Lord. And no one can do it but you. Each of us is set out in a God-appointed task. You can do those things that I cannot do. I can do those things that you cannot do. Together, man, can we do a lot of stuff for the glory of God. When I was a financial planner in the financial field, I had to have a fiduciary capacity. And a fiduciary capacity means that you have to operate in the highest level of trust because you're going to act on the interest and the benefit of others, not your own interests. You're going to act in the interest and the benefits of others. So now I'm basically a spiritual fiduciary. I have to act in the spiritual interest and the benefit of others. And I recognize not everyone's the same. We're all equal, but we're not all the same. We all have differing gifts and differing talents and differing abilities. We all have differing struggles and differing sins and differing issues that we're dealing with because we're people. And if you want to walk with God, come on now, get to stepping already. Responsibility means that you are responsible for your ability. It's a calling. You are not responsible for my abilities. You are not responsible for my calling. You have a set of your own. People sit around and talk for hours about their disability. Absolutely drives me crazy. And our prayer lists keep getting longer and longer and longer and longer. Because we want to pray for those things. We want to take them lightly. God influences the physical world, and touches and brings healing, and touches lives, and transforms hearts. God does this. It's amazing the things that God can do. But people like to talk about their disabilities. They like to talk about what they can't do, all the things they aren't. And see, I just see all the things that they are. God sees all the things they are. Try and talk about your abilities more than you talk about your disabilities. You are not held accountable, listen, to what I should have done. You are held accountable to what you should have done. And we can't worry about the things we're not. Well, I'm not like Pastor Stan. I could never be up there. I'm not like Pastor Jeff. There's no way I could ever play the guitar like that. See, you're thinking about all the things you're not. What about the things that you are? Don't worry about what you're not. but you better be everything you are. See, here's your next slide. It kind of handles it this way. See, you are not your disability. You are your ability. And what are you doing with the abilities that God has bestowed upon you? See, our givers need to give, and our teachers need to teach, and our preachers need to preach, right? Singers need to sing. If you have the Holy Spirit of God, you're invited to participate within the body of Christ, to utilize your giftedness and utilize your abilities. And what is your response, not to your disability, but what is your response to your ability? The things that you can do. Your responsibility is your response to your ability and the things that you can accomplish. Come into the fellowship. Unite with the body. Bring your burdens. The body's strong. Bring your pain. There's healing here. Bring your anger. Bring your confusion. Bring your doubt. See, lay it all out before the Lord. What has you frightened? Jesus is not afraid of your struggles. Jesus is not afraid of your sin. He invites you in. Bring your abilities, bring your talents, bring your gifts. You belong here. You belong within the body of Christ. All of who you are, the good, the bad, the ugly, the embarrassed, the strong, the weak, the rich, the poor, the young, the old. See, God Himself works in you and works through you to create the spiritual atmosphere that brings Him glory. Are you thinking too much of yourself and not enough of God? Are you thinking too less of yourself and not enough of the power of Christ, of who you are in Him? God does this. That same God that dwells within you, you are not alone. You have not been left on your own. And this sanctuary, right here, right now, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It's the dwelling place of God that is resting within your souls. How can I not stand up here and not see God at work? How can you not look at Anna all giving a testimony about being in Indonesia and not see how the body of Christ has been at work and watching her and say, God is at work? How can you not look at Jeff and say, there's a young man who's going to be ordained this week, and not say, God is at work in someone's life? The children of God fill this place. Listen, the children of God fill this place. They fill this sanctuary and they fill this house, as messed up as they are. I can't wait to get here on Sundays with all the misfits. The imperfect ones who love Jesus. The imperfect ones who keep showing up. And if you have, but now it's going to hear, you're the problem. You're the problem. Criticism for the church, but you're not in the church. Okay. Have you ever thought that the weakness of the church in this world is because you're not here? Because of your non-participation within the unity of the body of Christ, all the things that you're talking about are because you're not here. You've removed yourself, and that's part of the weakness. You're not here. So if you want to criticize, you better start criticizing yourself. Do I make sense? And I don't know how else to say it to you, but you're invited. You're invited with all your criticism. The church misses you. The body needs you. You're invited with all your anecdotes and opinions. Come on. Participation. We're not all the same. Nor are we supposed to be. This is information for the body that's huge if it can land right. If we can get this next slide, by the way, here you go. Unity will take out the evil shark, right? But you got to get unified. And if one of those fish decide to just swim out on its side and start criticizing the fish is ineffective to swallowing up the evil shark. Have you ever heard this? Of course, I'm sure you have. Christians forsake the fellowship because it's too hot, it's too cold, the music's too loud, got my feelings hurt, the pizza wasn't done enough. People are difficult. Personalities are weird. There's hypocrites everywhere. Pastor dresses funny. Kids are undisciplined. People have not come to this church because I wore a necklace. You want the church to be a place where ministry happens, but you don't want anybody here who is sinful and needs ministry. Collectively, think about that as a body of believers and who you are and the purpose of what God has united us for. Is it, right, you've heard me say this a thousand times too, is it get your life straight and get your life right and come to church? Or is it come to church and get your life right? See, and most of us would say, of course, it's come to church and get your life right. Well, guess who's coming? Guess who's coming? People that don't have their act together. They ain't got their life right. But they're here, they're seeking, and we should walk beside them. I hear it. I can't go there. I'm too much of a sinner. People have the wrong impressions of what the church is. Can you imagine? New Life Alliance Church, there's actually people that go there that don't have their act together. There are actually people that go there that are sinners. Listen, isn't that like saying, we don't want any alcoholics at the AA meeting. We don't want any alcoholics here at the AA meeting. Listen, no overweight people at Weight Watchers. Listen, we don't want any out of shape, overweight people in our gym. It gives the wrong impression of what the gym is and why it's here. We only want the fit, the in shape to be in our gym. Because it gives the wrong impression of what our gym is. And people, people don't recognize that their absence from the fellowship hurts the body. And oftentimes their absence is because of what they believe about the church, that they're not invited, that they're not welcome because they look weird, they act funny, they have a terrible sense of humor, or they curse too much. Or see, in a fellowship of believers, you were all there once too. And God cleans you up. He'll clean them up too. Let God do what God can do. Here you go. Here's your next one. Church is not a spectator sport. Not a spectator sport. Your spirituality is not a spectator sport. Effective ministry requires participation. Get in the field. Get in the game. Get in a Bible study. Get into Sunday school. Do not just be hearers only of the word. Do what it says. Invite the sinner in. Experience Christ. We are to be different from the world in what we hold sacred and what we hold important. Now, I always like to mention in particular this particular passage of Scripture. When speaking concerning apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, and then also the scripture in the passage that we're all one body, we're all held together by the ligaments, and some are noses, and some are ears, and some are eyes, and some are hands, and if everyone was an ear, where would the sense of smell be, right? And so we have to recognize that within the body of believers, there's a great diversity. A great diversity of the giftedness of the body of believers. I often see what rises up within the body is that we expect our shepherds and our pastors to be prophets, or we expect our prophets to be shepherds, or we expect our teachers to be evangelists, and we expect the ears to look like hands, and we expect the nose to look like eyeballs, and we have these manifested things within our own minds about what's best for you, when the reality is God already knows what's best for you. Spiritual leadership is bringing out God within you. It's what is God doing in your life? How do we make this accomplish? How do we walk this walk? It's not me standing on the sidelines going, I think I know what God's going to do for you and what he needs to do for you and how he's going to work in your life. The reality is you already know what God's doing in your life and how he's going to work in your life, how he's going to shape in your life. Now, you might need someone like me to be able to go, get to stepping already. Does that make sense? This is often not the case. We need to celebrate the differences. There's different personalities. We're unified and we're diversified. We're not all the same, nor should we be. And if you're striving for sameness, you're not like God. You're not wanting the things of God. You're wanting the things of your own mind and the things of the flesh. The reality within a church is can someone like me who's a shepherd, a pastor, can he raise up an apostle? Someone like me who's a shepherd, can he raise up an evangelist? See, the environment needs to be that God invites all, so that all have the ability and the capacity to be able to be all that God has called them to be within the fellowship. Now, if I'm going to shut them out, listen, you do not look like the nose that I am. Go somewhere else. You've disrupted the unity of the body and the fellowship of believers. And just because people are weird, listen, there's some weird people. Listen, just because there's misfits, this is the church where the misfits fit. And they're all invited. That's why I fit here. And listen, there's a God-given identity. If you keep reading through the chapter into the next verses, there's your next one, Jody. God-given identity. When you heard about Christ, you were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. You are called to be made new in the attitude of your mind and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. This is what we're all striving for. This is what we're all in unity for. This is why we're not all polished and perfect. He's still rubbing off the rough edges on you and on him and on her and on them and on me. And we're all in this together as God has established and credited that he desires. This is what he desires. It's the Lord that makes us a new creation. We need to take off our old ways of thinking and put on new ways of thinking. Off with the ways of the flesh, and we renew our minds, turning from lying to speaking the truth, from destruction to construction, from bad to good, from all about me, all about me, all about me, my wants, my needs, my desire, to about considering someone else, to move from hatred and racism to love. Man, there's so much anger in the world. Why contribute to any more? The world needs more love. The world needs more grace and compassion and prayer. Your new nature is a righteousness and a holiness that God desires to show to a world that is hurting and dark and lost. You are set apart and you are unique just as God has created you. Once you walked with a pagan, not anymore. Once you talked with hatred on your lips, not anymore. Once you thought like the world, not anymore. Once you were living a lie on your way to hell, not anymore. I found the truth, and the truth has set me free. Once you were lost and wandering, not anymore. Once you were aimless and without hope, not anymore. Once you were the enemies of God, not anymore. Now he calls you friends. Now he calls you adopted. Now he calls you his children. I stand in the likeness and the renewed sense of what God is calling in my life. What is he doing in your life? Ready to accomplish what God has asked of me to accomplish. Working out the internal significance of my life. Our lives bear identifying marks of the Holy Spirit of God. Our lives will leave a trail of love and kindness, or they leave a trail of bitterness, anger, and resentment. Our lives tell of the gentleness of Christ, or they tell about the anger and the bitterness of the world. Our lives talk about forgiveness and reconciliation and redemption, or they tell about the other things that are going on in the world. What are you talking about, by the way? Far too often, the church looks like the world when the world should look like the church. I hope I can relate this. I hope I can get it to you to understand. This is the last slide. I don't seek salvation anymore. I was lost, but now I'm found. I do not need to be found again. Do you understand who you are in Christ? Do you understand your identity? Are you still struggling with your salvation? Christ said it is finished. It is done. The penalty of your sin has been paid for. Now, let me give you myself, fill you with the Holy Spirit of God, that you might have peace and that you might have power to deal with the sin that is all around you. You have been empowered to walk in victory. This is your identity. So in that identity, what do you do now? Who are you seeking now? I don't seek salvation anymore. That's done. That's over. My life now has progressive sanctification. It goes deeper into the walk of Christ that I might have influence for his kingdom. What are you doing? There's guidance every day that leads us to maturity. There's direction in every relationship, at every moment and every time. I need to learn to live with eternity in mind while I walk among the temporary plane of this existence. What are you seeking now that you know him? And what are you longing for now that you've found him? And if you don't know him, I invite you to come and get to know this Jesus, to come and be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that you might have a peace of God and that you might be at peace with God. All you need to do is invite Christ into your heart for the forgiveness of your sins. It's not complicated. Believe in me, says Jesus. Believe in me. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, in this place, this moment, we pray that you would continue to work in our lives, transforming us, touching us, challenging us, changing us. We lay out our lives before you, Father. We thank you for the blood of your Son, Jesus, which washes us clean, forgives us of our sins. And Father, empower us. Empower us with the Holy Spirit of God that we might be able to walk the walk, talk the talk, and live the life worthy of the calling that you have placed upon our lives. And Father, you have touched each of us individually. Bind us together in unity as a fellowship of believers that we may accomplish great things for your honor and for your glory, to bring you honor and to bring you glory. Continue to minister in us and through us in the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. God bless you guys.